many of us have read the science. The consensus is that people have a bit of a misunderstanding about what masks do and what they don't. And again, I'm not a medical professional, so, you know, I'm not going to speak for them, and I'm going to talk about what I've read. But what I was told by my doctor is that people's masks protect each other. And so when you hear, okay, you can wear a mask and that's okay that you do, but it's okay that I don't, they are forgetting that their mask is protecting everyone else. So if you're, and what my doctor told me, and again, he works with an epidemiologist, and I've also talked to them, and I've also talked to a friend in infectious diseases at Cedars-Sinai, and they don't get partisan about it because they're into the science, and it's wear the mask. That's the only way. If we've got to have mask mandates, or we're going to see more and more and more deaths. And, you know, if the CDC, the World Health Organization, the Surgeon General, the epidemiologists, the, you know, hundreds of Iowa doctors, I'll just stick to Iowa here, but hundreds of Iowa doctors signed a letter asking our governor to mandate masks. So I trust that they know the science. And they know what they're talking about. And one of the things they said is, you know, put a mask on and then try to blow a candle out. And that shows you that, in other words, these droplets that you're, you know, spewing out of your mouth, whether you're talking, breathing, whatever, create those aerosols or whatever that can cause the virus. The concern is so many other states have mandated it. And I really feel that it's important for the state to mandate it. Cities have tried to, but unfortunately, according to the governor, that is illegal for them to do because we don't have what's called home rule in Iowa. So it's all up to the state. And that makes it difficult then for communities who see the need to mandate masks. I talked to a person who drove from California to Iowa, and what she told me was all along the way was very, very good with mask wearing. And the minute she got to South Dakota and then Iowa, it fell off dramatically. So that was her concern.
We just did a trip to the Black Hills. We were in a remote area in the hills in a cabin without water even. But we did drive through Deadwood because I finally said we have to stop somewhere so we can shower. And we drove through the main street of Deadwood. And I would say it was probably about, I'm not an expert on counting people very quickly, but I would say maybe 10 to 15% of people were wearing masks. That was it.
Right.
And so we chose to, you know what, we're just going to go somewhere else instead. But then
exactly.
I must say Iowa did have a few more masks, though. I don't know, where did this become so political? It seems people who support one side, you know, their foreign masks, people on the other side don't.
What happened from the White House is very mixed messages. And I think that got confusing. The president was not wearing masks. The other party was wearing masks. So it became, which shouldn't be a partisan issue at all, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whatever you are, the virus does not care. The virus is out there. So I think a national mandate, and it needed to happen a long time ago, and it didn't. So it was left up to the states, and many of the states decided to, and many of the states said, no, we're not going to do that. So it's kind of a patchwork quilt of a country instead of here's the national, you know, program. This is what we're going to do. We're in an emergency. You know, I think that's a real concern. So you have people who read things that say masks don't work and they make you sicker or you're more likely to catch the virus. And so there's a lot of science out there that says, yes, masks work. And there's a lot of pushback on that in that you're taking away my freedom. That's just real concerning. And again, I know people of both parties that wear masks and are great. So I'm not trying to blame any particular person, but I think there's been a real lapse in leadership.
Now, you actually have an online initiative. You have a petition drive that's underway to urge people to wear masks.
I think when I kept seeing states mandating it, I was like, God, you know, we need to do that. And so I didn't write the petition. It was written by an RN that is a friend of the family. So he wrote it from a, you know, healthcare provider perspective. And he talked about even the fact that it could affect our economy. You know, if too many people get sick, our businesses have to close down or this and that, it's actually detrimental to our economy. So, you know, we want to keep our economy going, and kind of silent killer is doing the social distancing, wearing the masks, and doing the right thing. And it's not just government, it's individuals who make the decision to not wear one, or make the decision to go into the crowded bar or whatever it is, and it's not working. The United States cases are off the charts. We've seen other countries who have done something nationally and done a good job. Again, there's some states that are doing good jobs. There are people who are doing great things, but I think we've had a real lapse in leadership.
And there's also a Facebook group called Siouxland Wears Masks.
I can't remember who started that, so I can't speak for who started it. I ended up joining it. But Siouxland Wears Masks gives a lot of information that's really helpful about how do we protect ourselves here in Siouxland. You know, we don't have a mask mandate. Our community is not allowed to do one, much to the frustration probably of our local leaders. So how do we protect ourselves? So they talk about, okay, I was in such and such a place and there were no masks on customers or staff. And they were kind of stunned. And then on the flip side of that, they'll say, hey, went to this one store, this one place that they were 100% wearing masks and the customers were, and we really felt safe there. So it's a really good resource. And again, it's not about to get any business or, you know, go against anyone. It's just more of a, here's kind of a health and safety report on what we're seeing as Siouxlanders going in this store or that store. So if people kind of want to check in and, you know, if they see a place that's doing great with masks, they post that. So it's not all negative. It's some of it's very, very positive, and thanking, you know, certain businesses for keeping people safe.
I actually use that as a resource to actually have lunch with a friend. We did it outside, away from everyone else in the server. She came wearing a mask. She actually brought, I enjoy drinking a lot of Diet Coke. She brought three of them for me and put them right in front of me all at once. So that way, you know, it's right there. And so we were trying to be really careful.
Exactly.
It's kind of a hard mix, though, because it is hard to be isolated. I know mentally it can be tough to be by yourself or to be with just a few people.
Absolutely. And you actually were voiced over that mental health PSA that we sponsored from Google Foundation. And you did a great job, by the way. What I noticed is we did two PSAs. One was for safety from Siouxland Community Health, which was really helpful because they said this was earlier on. Here's the symptoms. Here's when to go to the hospital. Here's when to call your healthcare provider. They talked about social distancing, wearing a mask. Then we did the one with Siouxland Mental Health. And Sheila, there were 18,000 views. And this was just basically kind of the Siouxland area. And that's a lot. So what we are seeing, I think I heard yesterday that mental health calls have gone up 1,000%. So it is hard to be isolated. And it is hard month after month follow the rules. I think there's ways to socially do that. We're lucky right now in that we're in summer, so we see people on a patio. My son can come over and 10 feet away from me, my brother came over on my birthday, and we about 10 feet apart, and you know, we could sit and have our talk. When I go see my mother, who's 80 next year, we can see her outside. So we're lucky right now with the weather that we can do those things. We can take walks and we can do those safe safe things. I think that the really tough part is going to be as we head into the winter months, because I know in March and April, it was still kind of wintery and people were struggling. It was new, you know, it was, oh my God, you know, I can't go here. Or I don't feel safe going there. I've got underlying conditions, you know, people with diabetes, people who are over 60, people who have heart issues or lung issues, whatever it is, they're very vulnerable. And so, you know, it is hard. It really is hard, but, you know, they're still learning. I was talking to my friend in infectious diseases, and I said, why are healthy 40-year-olds with no underlying conditions dying? It doesn't happen as often. We know that, but they don't know yet. You know, they don't know those things yet. There was that Broadway star. I think he was 41. His Nick, I can't remember his name, but there was quite a bit of publicity. And he ended up dying from it. And I had a friend in New York, two friends in their 40s died of it. And, you know, seemingly healthy younger people. And I just read a case where a teenager died from it. So again, know that people with underlying conditions and people that are older are more likely to die. Of course, we know that. We know many of the cases are mild. They go away. What I'm also seeing is reports of what they call the long haulers. And those are people who don't have to go to the hospital, but they have symptoms for months. That part's really scary. I've had two or three friends hospitalized and survived, thank God. I had one in Florida who really prepared herself to die. She was that sick, and she did recover, so that was great. I had another high school friend who lost his sister. So, you know, this is real, and we have to take that into consideration and say, okay, we may have to give this up for another 6 months or a year whenever we get a vaccine, a better treatment, you know, but it's a trade-out. It really is a trade-out. It's not worth it to me to go into a restaurant inside that I miss, and there's many that I do, and take that risk, because I know that when you eat, you know, you have to take the mask off, and I think many of our restaurants around here are probably doing a really, really good job. So my doctor has kind of given me the parameters. My mother, who will be 90 next year, cannot go inside anywhere. Luckily, again, the weather's nice and we can see her outside. The only ones that go inside are her healthcare providers. So it's hard for everybody. I haven't hugged my son in 5 months. You know, he's an adult son, but I've got a friend coming in from New York today. Actually, the bully director, Lee Hirsch. I haven't seen him for 5 years since we were at the Emmys. And I would love to hug him. And even my husband said, you know, my husband is not a hugger. He said, I won't be able to hug Lee. So it's hard. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. But it will change and it will shift, and they will come up with things. And we just have to trust that will happen. I think over the next year we're going to see better treatments. That's what my doctor just told me 2 days ago when I talked to him. He said they really are coming out with better treatments. So he thinks that's going to happen prior to a vaccine, because the vaccine has to go through so many trials with all age groups and see what works and what doesn't work. And then there's going to be distribution. You know, it's not like, okay, we can distribute this to 300 million people at once. It's going to be who gets this first. So we're in for a long time here. I probably sound like a real downer, but I just look at this. I talk to healthcare people and ask them what they think, and that's kind of what I'm hearing. You know, as far as the mental health, Sheila, and I think you really brought up, for me, it's brought back phone calls too, you know, instead of just texting or whatever. It's brought back the phone calls, those kind of things. I mean, it's like we have to find different ways of connecting. And again, in the summer, it's easier because you can take a walk or, as you said, eat outside and feel fairly comfortable doing that at a restaurant. But inside's going to be a little different. It's almost you have to shift your mind. We're in a different world, and just kind of go day by day and do what you can do to live your life and keep yourself safe and maintain whatever social contact you can.
the governor, she said, you know, the reason why she wanted school to reopen would be for children who do not have a support system. They don't have the luxury to stay home.
Right.
What are your thoughts about that when you have a vulnerable group of children who, it's just so hard. I think this pandemic is bringing out the worst in a lot of things.
It is. And you've got a very young child, right? How old is she?
She's seven.
How old?
She's seven. And we're fortunate. Unfortunately, my husband's out of work. The pandemic put his business out of business, probably for the next year. And so he's able to stay home with her. We're lucky that way. But I know, you know, some people don't have that kind of support system.
In a perfect world, I think that that's a real concern. If you have both parents working, and I totally get that, you know, in a perfect world, we would have kind of figured that out and figured out childcare for those people. We know that there are people out of work that could babysit or could be at home with the child. So I wish that there would have been money coming to those families who can't afford that and need to have their child in school. It's a real trade-off right now. And I feel bad for everybody involved. There's quite a few parents that have opted for virtual learning. I'm hearing in Sioux City, we're starting with a hybrid, which I think is certainly safer because you're going to have fewer kids in the class and they'll be able to distance more. My son is a teacher, so he's my only child. So as a mother of a teacher, I'm worried, but I know that our school system here is doing everything that they possibly can and doing a good job. And I think it's just a wait and see kind of thing, how this would play out. Seeing high schools in Georgia, and I don't know where else I read that opened up and closed down. But those schools were doing full-on students and no masks, which, of course, they're going to close down. So I'm really glad that our system here is doing so many safe things. But this virus is tricky, and it is a wait and see. So I'm just praying everybody will be okay. The universities, I think, and Sheila, you've seen stories on this. I think that's so risky because you've got, you know, kids in dorms, you know, the kids having huge house parties and not, you know, because they're young and they think they're in bulletproof and they can spread this thing like wildfire. I keep looking at seeing more and more colleges that are closing down.
No, I know. And you know what? The pandemic, of course, has changed everything. Normally, I would love to have you face to face with me to do this interview. Put it online and I'll do some editing as well, because unfortunately, phone connections aren't 100% perfect. But I appreciate your time. I have to run and do a newscast, but is there anything else that you would like to say real quick?
I thank all the people in Siouxland who are wearing masks and doing the right thing. And I encourage others to do so as well.
All right, Cindy, thank you. I wish you all the best. Keep in touch and stuff. Let me know how you're doing.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.